Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through the noise, take a stack of sources, and get right to the insights that matter to you.
And today, we're plunging into something pretty critical as the world goes electric.
Yeah. What actually happens to electric vehicles at the very end of their life? We're talking recycling, specifically.
Right. And our guide for this comes straight from, the front lines, you could say. A presentation by Siri Sveinsvold-Gregg from the Norwegian Car Dismantlers Association.
Norske Bilresurser. She presented this just recently, May 2025, at the FORS conference in Warsaw.
And the focus, EVs in the recycling stream, and importantly, Norway's story as a real pioneer in EV adoption.
So our mission today is pretty clear. We're going to unpack how Norway got to be the leading EV market so fast.
But then, maybe more crucially, we'll dig into what that actually means for the folks who handle cars when they're scrapped.
The opportunities, yes, but also the threats, the challenges, especially around those, you know, complex EV batteries.
What really jumps out from this source is the contrast, isn't it? Norway adopted EVs incredibly quickly. Mass market dominance almost overnight, it feels like.
But this presentation suggests that even with that massive head start, some, well, fundamental systems for handling them at the end, they're still not in place. That's the quote.
It does raise a huge question. You've got almost a million EVs on Norway's roads now, mostly bought in the last, 10 years.
So what happens when they start hitting the end of their life? How are those batteries actually being dealt with?
That's really the core of what we need to explore for you today.
Okay, so let's unpack this rapid journey Norway took. The presentation lays out a policy path that really started picking up steam over a decade ago.
Right, the source breaks it down quite neatly. It talks about 2010 to 2015 as kind of building the foundation.
This is when Norway really, really leaned in with strong incentives to get people buying electric cars, to kickstart things.
And they weren't messing around. We're talking huge financial drivers like no registration fee, which is hefty there, and no 25% VAT.
Plus the convenience stuff, right? Free tolls, getting to use bus lanes, free parking sometimes. These were big deals, not small nudges.
Exactly. And backing that up, they really pushed charging infrastructure development with support from government groups like Enova and Transnova.
And the result, it was fast. They hit 50,000 EVs back in 2015. The presentation notes that was 2 years earlier than their original target for 2017.
So already outpacing their own goals early on.
Then comes the next phase, 2016 to 2020. The source calls this the transition to the mass market.
And this is where the EV share of new car sales just took off. Really steep climb.
Interestingly, though, as that happened, the presentation points out they started to kind of gradually reduce some of those initial big benefits.
Yeah, not a sudden stop, but phasing them out as EVs became more normal. And a key moment mentioned is 2018.
Over 50% of new cars sold were electric? Half. Think about that.
And around the same time, the government formally stated its strategy. Phase out all new fossil fuel car sales by 2025.
The presentation links this directly to climate goals. So it wasn't just about selling cars. It was part of a bigger picture.
Then we get to the most recent period, 2021 to 2024, labeled consolidation and adjustment. Growth just kept going, almost became the default.
Absolutely. EV sales just dominated past 80% of new sales in 2022.
And the incentive adjustments got a bit more serious then. This is where they brought in VAT, but only on the price above 500,000 Norwegian kroner.
So still encouraging cheaper EVs, but the luxury end started paying some tax.
Right. And they increased tolls for EVs in cities, too. The free ride couldn't really last with so many EVs on the road needing revenue for upkeep.
Other perks were phased out, too. And the reason given in the source, pretty straightforward. They needed the revenue for infrastructure to support this massive EV fleet.
Makes sense. Because while those user perks were dialed back, the rollout of fast chargers and the general charging network just kept expanding massively.
It wasn't about slowing things down, just changing how it was paid for. By 2024, it's not really a transition anymore, is it? It's dominance.
EVs were just the standard choice for most people buying a new car.
And the latest numbers cited from early 2025, they're just staggering. For all of 2024, 89% of new passenger cars registered were electric. 89.
And get this, January 2025 alone?
Yeah.
95%.
Wow, 95%, meaning only 5% of new car buyers chose something else.
And the total fleet numbers by early 2025, over 900,000 electric cars in Norway.
Which is about, 32% of all passenger cars?
Yep, roughly a third of all cars on Norwegian roads are now electric.
So summing up Norway's approach here, they used really strong economic pulls and smart policies to basically lead the world.
Now, those incentives are being tweaked for balance, but the result is undeniable. EVs are the norm, and that 2025 goal of no new fossil fuel cars looks totally achievable.
It's just an incredibly fast transformation, but, and this is where the source really pivots, what does this rapid buildup mean for the end of the car's life?
Exactly. What happens when these cars need to be scrapped?
This is where it gets really interesting, and maybe a little worrying. The presentation asks directly, what are the opportunities and what are the threats for the car dismantlers?
The business is actually tasked with handling these end-of-life vehicles.
The source starts with the threats, the challenges, and there are some pretty fundamental ones listed.
Okay, let's break those down. First up, the legal side.
It says regulation is slow, implementing it nationally is tough, and the rules themselves are complicated.
That tells you straight away the paperwork hasn't kept up with the technology adoption speed, especially for batteries. Why slow? Well, legislating new tech is complex, involves different agencies maybe.
Getting everyone to agree on standards, responsibilities, it just takes time.
Then there's training. Absolutely critical.
Yeah, high voltage systems in potentially damaged cars need special training. The presentation mentions fire risk specifically. Big concern.
And just the risk of electric shock from damaged batteries or wires. Mm-hmm. Safety's number one. And getting everyone skilled up is a huge task.
Transport is another practical headache.
Moving these old EVs, and especially their heavy batteries, it's not simple. The source mentions long distances, high costs.
Why high costs? Well, besides the weight, there might be special safety rules for moving damaged lithium batteries, right? Needing special containers, procedures, adds cost and hassle.
Definitely more complex than just shipping a regular old car, Hulk.
And storage. Where do you even put them all while they wait?
Opacity's a problem. And the source notes new regulations for storing these things are coming in August 2025.
Which suggests the current setup needs tightening up. Probably more complexity for the dismantlers.
Then there's this PRO thing, Producer Responsibility Organization.
This seems like a really big gap. The source flat out says a PRO structure specifically for batteries is still not in place.
Meaning no formal industry-wide system required by law or even fully agreed by producers to manage collecting and recycling batteries once they're out of the car.
Discussions are happening, it says, but it's not running yet, even with nearly a million EVs driving around.
And the sheer growth in volume is listed as a threat too, which is kind of ironic.
Dismantlers are just bracing for this enormous increase in old EVs coming their way.
Managing that flood of vehicles, each needing special handling, particularly the battery, it puts huge pressure on their existing setup.
And finally, the elephant in the room, cost.
Who pays? The source says there are ongoing talks about how to cover the costs of handling and processing these things safely. And crucially, who pays?
Is it the last owner? The dismantler? The car maker, some kind of industry fund.
Yeah, it's a complex money and rules debate that isn't fully sorted out yet.
Okay, so that's a pretty hefty list of challenges. But the source does also talk about opportunities.
Yes, it's not all bad news. The presentation highlights three main areas. First is our use.
Right, the idea of taking a still good battery out of one scrap car and putting it into another one.
Yeah, maybe extending the life of older EVs or offering replacement options. Makes sense.
Second is new markets for these used batteries.
This is a big one. Using these second life batteries for stationary storage, like home power banks, or helping balance the electricity grid.
So you take what might be waste from a car perspective and turn it into something valuable for a completely different use.
Exactly. Gives the battery a whole new life cycle, potentially generating revenue.
And the third opportunity is recycling itself.
Getting back the valuable stuff inside the batteries and the rest of the car. Things like lithium, cobalt, nickel, copper.
Feeding those materials back into the manufacturing chain, moving towards that circular economy idea.
So given how central batteries are both as a challenge and an opportunity, the presentation goes into a bit more detail on setting up a system just for them.
It mentions Autoree AS. They're apparently already the established PRO for end-of-life vehicles generally in Norway.
Right. They handle the collection and initial processing of all scrap cars currently.
And the plan detailed is that Autoreeter is about to establish a new separate company just for the batteries, Autoreeter Battery Recycling AS.
But, important point from the source, this new company is not legally established yet. It's a plan, it's in process.
But the idea is to copy the model that seems to work for the rest of the car.
The structure they showed looks pretty logical. The car importers, through their association, BIL, would deal with both Autoreeter for the car body and this new Automature battery recycling for the battery part.
And these PROs then become the main contact point, negotiating with the actual recycling companies, the ATFs, authorized treatment facilities.
The ones who physically do the dismantling and processing.
The presentation also lists the goals and jobs for this proposed battery PRO.
They'd be responsible for meeting the requirements of the EU battery regulation, which probably means hitting specific targets for how many batteries are collected, how efficiently they're recycled, how much material is recovered.
Their aim would be a system that achieves high targets for both collection and recycling.
They'd also need to handle all the reporting, making sure everything is tracked and transparent.
And crucially, they'd negotiate with the recycling operators for the car importers. Kind of a central negotiator.
Yeah, designed to centralize things, create a clear process and line of responsibility.
Okay, so when you put all that together, the super fast adoption, the current challenges for dismantlers, the opportunities, this plan for a battery PRO, what's the big picture the source leaves us with?
Well, the presentation has a summary that's pretty direct, quite eye-opening, really, considering Norway's leading position. It says, lots of action's been taken and lots of actions are in process. However, good sustainable solutions are still not in place.
Wow. That's quite an admission.
And it doubles down, stating, despite electric vehicles has been on the market for a very long time, a proper system is not yet in place.
So it's not just about dealing with future volumes, it's the actual system design now.
And the reason why they're still at this stage, even after years of pushing EVs, the presentation says, the volume has just started to arrive at the ATFs, so we are still in the starting point for treating electric vehicles and batteries.
Just think about that. Norway, over a decade of EV focus, nearly a million on the road, a third of their fleet, 95% of new sales.
And the people handling the end-of-life stage are saying the significant volume, especially of batteries, is only now starting to show up.
And because the volume is only just beginning, the proper system is still being built. They're at the starting point.
It really shows how the adoption speed just completely outran the end-of-life planning, even in the most advanced EV market globally.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on, based on this Norwegian experience. If even Norway, which planned early, pushed hard, has the highest EV share, nearly a million EVs is still only at the starting point for building a proper sustainable recycling system as the wave just begins to hit.
What does that mean for the rest of the world? For the global challenge of handling all these EV batteries in the coming years as adoption ramps up everywhere else?
Yeah, what does that imply about the scale and the urgency needed globally? Definitely something to mull over until our next deep dive.